This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin the Monday morning edition. It is VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Frigid temperatures have hit the border, my man, here in Tennessee and Kentucky. But might be cold in Cleveland. They got to feel pretty good about that win yesterday, beating those rival Steelers there in Cleveland.
It was typical Northeast Ohio weather this time of the year, Dave. The only thing we were missing was the snow globe. We had all the precipitation that you could ask for, and it came raining down on the Steelers. What a win yesterday for the Browns. We have a winner-take-all final game of the year yet again for a division title. So many playoff implications and scenarios to get into, and perhaps game of the year last night, down to the final play, track meet back and forth. What a weekend it was, my man. Cannot wait to break it all down with you.
We've got a great show on a Monday to do that. Of course, our GM, Marty Herney, is going to join the program as he does each and every Monday to get his thoughts on what he saw over the weekend in the NFL and even going back to Thursday. Really excited to have Ovi Mahaly back in the program here. Of course, you guys know Ovi from his Falcon days and his Raven days there. He's going to be catching up with us tonight, talking about the Falcons, their game against the Rams tonight, and previewing that Monday night matchup. And then the king of Connecticut, the one and only Will Hill, will join the program as well. I'm going to bet that build for Monday Night Football as well. But you mentioned it, Santa Clara. We've been saying this for a couple weeks now. All roads potentially could go through Santa Clara with one more win, and that's where we begin today's edition of Highlights and Headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Leave your defenses at the door. They were not applicable last night in Santa Clara. 42-38 is the final. If you laid the 3.5 with the Niners, you get home. I grabbed a little in play on the Bears plus 4.5, so everything was in the balance. And you do have some tickets that also cash at those 4.5 numbers there for Chicago, depending on the number. And I know, Jensen, you got a better number. We talk about it all the time in the program. Brock Purdy was absolutely sensational. 5 total touchdowns, ran in a couple, threw in 3 more, did have one pick on the first play of the offensive game here after the kickoff, and it went for a pick 6, and then from there, it was just, he was lights out. Jensen, I was really impressed by both teams. I guess there's 2 different takeaways for me. One, Caleb Williams, man, year 2, it just looks so much better with Ben Johnson. It's light years apart. And 2, I don't know that either one of these defenses are good enough to win the whole thing, but these offenses sure can.
Well, you nailed it right from the jump there. You get the pick 6 by the Bears to start things off after the opening kickoff. Could not begin any better than you could have hoped for. And then if you're the Niners, to get back up off the mat and just go right up and down the field, touchdown after touchdown after touchdown, and then Caleb Williams and company matching wits and matching counterpunches. For it to come down to the final play, the way that it did, Dave, again, you're asking a defense to make a stop, just one. And boy, oh boy, there were opportunities there for Caleb Williams on the final play for them to be able to get that one home at the gun. But either way, very much an intriguing litmus test, as you alluded to. Can either of these teams be able to run the gamut in the NFC, knowing the other defenses you're going to have to go up against? Can't wait to get into that conversation with you later on this show.
I played first half over 25.5. I've never seen that cash in the first quarter. And then, Jensen, I was looking at the live numbers. I've never seen totals like this. The total for the first half in the live number was 45.5. For the game, it went up to 70, 71. It cleared all of those numbers with ease as it closes 42-38, amazing shootout we had last night in Santa Clara. Different game that we had up there in Western New York, and it came down to the end. Look, Eagles had a 13-0 lead. It looked like they were just going to put this thing to bed. A lot of rain, then it dried up late in this game, so maybe got a little bit better for the offenses. And then Josh Allen started to do those Josh Allen things. They score a touchdown, make it 13-6, miss the extra point. It's blocked. Get the ball back after another 3 and out. By the way, Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, 0 completions in the second half. And yet, It comes down to a two-point conversion. Allen's got a wide-open receiver, misses him, and the Eagles escape with a one-point win. What's your takeaway from this one? Kind of Eagles look great for a half, win in hibernation for a half, but still held on for the win.
You and I had the same amount of passing yards in the second half as Jalen Hurts yesterday. I mean, just remarkable to see. And it's not the first time, Dave, that this has happened for the Eagles this year.
No.
Not in like the last 10. It's been multiple times this year. And ironically, they have won those games too. So implications here. The Eagles, with that win and with the Chicago Bears loss, stay alive potentially for the two seed now. The Bears have the tiebreaker over the Eagles. The Eagles cannot do any worse than the three seed. So 11-5 respective records there. Still a lot to play for both those clubs heading into next Sunday.
Fascinating. We'll talk about some of those things and how in the futures market too, to kind of for week 18, what teams still have something to play for. Maybe other teams go, man, we're kind of slotted in here. How much do we really want to put the foot down on the gas pedal? Steelers needed more gas yesterday. Didn't get it. 13-6. Brownies get the upset win. This takes a winner-take-all Sunday night affair here. Winner's going to win the division. Loser is going to go home and miss the postseason in perpetuity here. The Browns, for their part, it didn't look pretty either, but yet they hold on to get the win. I heard a lot of their postgame from their defensive players, especially Myles Garrett, saying they just blocked me up to not get the record, but they didn't care about the win. I don't know about that, Jensen, but no matter what, however you slice it, the Browns had some pride yesterday and they showed it.
That was a remarkable way for them to not only play spoiler. It was part of our handicap at the beginning of the week, Dave, was, it is essentially their playoff game for the Browns, and the rivalry notwithstanding, to see basically the best unit on the field, and that's been the Browns defense in many games they've played, come up the way they did. I'll tell you, Denzel Ward got away with what should have been probably pass interference there in the end zone. By rights, the Steelers should have had at least one more play, but it is what it is at that point. And here we go. Sunday Night Football, as you said, Ravens had to get that win in Green Bay. They get it done. They get the assist. I know we have a little fun social media to show people coming up in the show just about the old Browns versus the new Browns. So, hey,
unreal.
Here it is. Final game of the year for all the marbles there in the AFC North.
Yeah, Ravens, in case you missed that one on Saturday night, they scored 41 without Lamar Jackson. Some guy named Derrick Henry, just keep giving him the football. Seemed to work out pretty darn well there. I'm sure you're going to see a lot of Derrick Henry against the Steelers coming up on Sunday Night Football. We do have a South showdown. And, if I'm the Saints or I'm the Falcons, I'm like, man, if I just won one more game, maybe earlier somewhere at any point of the season, maybe I'm still playing for a South title, because we've got a sub-500 team in Tampa Bay against a 500 team here in Carolina. Carolina gets thwarted at home in the second half against Seattle. And the Buccaneers, thank you. You lose to my Dolphins, so I can cash those over tickets there. We'll get into that later. But Jensen, if you're Baker Mayfield, there is a theme here. When he turns it over, they lose. And he turned it over a lot yesterday.
Think about it. Second half of the year, the Buccaneers are 0-8 against the number. 0-8. 1-7 straight up. I mean, you look at the Indianapolis Colts collapse in the AFC, you'd have to nominate the Buccaneers with the way that they started this season. And I know injuries are something that every team deals with, but boy, it has been a meteor crashing down to earth here. One thing to keep in mind, the Dolphins were a lean of ours in millions at getting the 5.5. That one never in doubt. But with the losses here, there's a remarkable thing that is going to go into the handicap for the Atlanta Falcons tonight, because the Atlanta Falcons can still have a say, even though they don't play either of these teams tonight or in week 18. Remarkable that every game matters in the NFL, Dave, because of the tiebreakers, because of the strength of schedule, the common opponents. It is crazy how many people in Tampa and in Charlotte are going to be watching with keen eyes tonight on Monday Night Football.
It is ironic. The Buccaneers will be rooting for the Rams, because if the Falcons were to win out their last two, Carolina, congratulations, you're going to win this division. So it is wild the way this thing could play out here, where the Falcons could still affect things. And we're going to talk to Ovi Mahaley a little bit about that later on in the program as well. The Falcons there at 6-9. So you do that math. Boy, they just had one more of those collapses or games they couldn't finish off earlier in the year. against the Rams, who now are slotted in. They cannot win the NFC West now that the Niners won last night. So that will be a winner-take-all for the one seed in the NFC West. But the Rams, and this is where I want to get to with this handicap tonight, they can't move here, Jensen. So they're stuck. And I wonder, you know, when psychology plays into it, yeah, you're going to still go out there. You've been game planning all week. You're going to try to put your best foot forward. But you kind of know, man, when I can't win that division, I wonder how much you're really going to try to go out there for all 60 minutes tonight.
So many implications on the Rams side, just from if you're playing on those player props, if you're looking at how long Matthew Stafford, Puka Nacua end up staying in this ball game. Dave, before everything happened yesterday, I got to the under 50, down to 49.5 at a lot of spots. And I also bought up the Falcons to +7.5. So perhaps we're in a great spot here. As you mentioned, the top headline is that there is nowhere for the Rams to go. They know what they have right now. And hey, with this game and next week, boy, that is a critical part of the handicap for bettors deciding which side you actually want to be on.
They are the 5 seed and they're not moving. That's it. They're going to be stuck at 5. No matter which way they go. And by the way, the Giants did beat the Raiders yesterday, 34-10. So the Raiders, you get the number one pick coming up in the April draft. That has been decided by that lopsided game there. New York, by the way, that had they lost, they would have gotten the number one pick. Guess they're good with Jackson Dart, who played pretty well yesterday in that 34-10 win. Much more on that, much more on what we saw in Santa Clara and the changing numbers associated now, getting all choked up, and we only have one more week in the regular season to go. We'll discuss all that when you come back with us right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Monday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. It's fascinating, even in the break, just going back and looking at our preseason predictions. And it's wild. We talk about it, right? How quickly the season goes by. And now we have one more week to go in the regular season here, Jensen. And you do look up. And, you know, I even tweeted out last night, boy, if you had the Bears winning the North and the Patriots winning the East and you had the Broncos winning the West, all with a week to play, by the way. They don't have to worry about week 18. Like, who saw that coming? I mean, maybe if you have those picks, that's great. Let's see those tickets. But also the fact that they've wrapped those divisions up with a week to go, I think that's even more startling, especially for the Bears, who lost in week 17. Didn't matter. They'd already won the division.
Yeah. Shout out to our guy, Will Hill, who will be on in the final hour of this program. Only colleague of ours here on the network to pick the Bears to win the NFC North. And as you said, they had that locked up with a couple of weeks to spare. Last night is one for the books, Dave, a game of the year nominee. Heck, we had one earlier in the day with the way that Eagles and that Bills game finished. Talk about that coming up, but still a lot to play for here. And I guess my biggest takeaway from last night, you mentioned how the defenses had no answer for the respective offenses. If I put it back to you with this idea, we look at now the Niners and the Seahawks, who will play for not only the NFC West title, but also for the number one seed. We had said for a while, the Niners knew what they had in front of them. They don't have to get on another plane if they win next Saturday night. That's something to think about when you look at potential head-to-heads down into the divisional and eventual NFC championship round. I looked at it with my Bears at 60-1. I'll be rooting for them to just paste the Detroit Lions to get that 2 seed, because then if the Niners were to match up, then it feels like, hey, that's a beautiful way to hedge, knowing probably be a slight favorite for the Niners after what we saw last night. against the Bears. But, man, if that's our NFC Championship preview.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. Do we have a dandy on our hands for sure.
You know, a couple of my favorite sayings are, those who don't remember the past are condemned to repeat it. We've got a case of history repeating for yours truly. This time last year, I was sitting on Vikings tickets at 11-1 to win the North. And all they had to do in the last week with Sam Darnold was beat the Lions. And not only would they have won the division, they would have been the number one seed. This year, I've got Seattle tickets. Not as juicy as 11-1. I got a plus 679 to win this division in a couple spots here. And it's Sam Darnold, again, who just has to go on the road and win a game to get that number one seed and win the division. So it did not work out at the end last year. Again, all those tickets have already cashed, you know, the bigger ones here. But, boy, you'd like to get that division win if you could get it. And here we are again coming down to the last game on Saturday night. When I do look back at the first game, and this was the first week of the season, 17-13, it was a win for the Niners. Remember that game? That was Nick Bosa coming around the end where the Seahawks had a chance. They were goal to go to win this game, and a strip sack fumbled, ended. He's not going to be there this time around, but a low-scoring game the first time. Seattle, by the way, has struggled a little bit. We'll get to these game breakdowns as the week goes on. In first halves recently, boy, they better start faster against this Niners offense because they look like right now it's all gas, no breaks with that San Francisco offense. Eagles and Bills. And again, I don't know what to make of the Eagles anymore. Like, they win, they're unimpressive for a half of the game. The first half of the game, I went, wow, I have to rethink the Eagles. Maybe they can repeat as Super Bowl champs. And then I watch the second half and I go, nope, I had it right the first time. Jensen, where are you on this team? Because we'll get to Nick Sirianni a little bit later and some of his antics. I don't know if it's rubbing on the team the right way or the wrong way, but it just feels like something is disconnected, and yet they could be as high as a two seed here in the NFC.
Yeah, okay, so glass half full look at it. They continue to win these games when statistically you look at some of the performances, you're like, how is that humanly possible in the NFL?
Right.
Okay, glass half empty. Dave, regardless if they're a two or three seed, the Eagles will have a home game against one of these three teams, the Seahawks, the 49ers, or the Rams. Now, which of those three are you putting your money on for the Eagles to beat there in the wild card round? Because right now, if they have a repeat performance of that second half against any of those three defenses, not only are they losing, they may be losing by double digits. And I told you, I said we could be looking at an NFC South champion who may be at 500, maybe just a tick better, depending on how Carolina and Tampa finish up. But you're looking at a wild card team that could not only be a road favorite in that opening wild card round in that matchup, but what do you make on a number? Just thinking ahead here, you got to favor the Seahawks over the Eagles if it gets there. You probably are favoring the Rams, and are you not favoring the Niners? Like, which game would Philly be a favorite at home in the wild card round?
I think you'd have to make them the favorite, probably obviously less than a field goal against all those teams. I think the one they might match up the best with, ironically, would be Seattle. Kind of mirror images, really good defenses, and sometimes the offenses can be a little bit questionable. You know, if you're watching FanDuel Sports Network, we put the stats up here for the game board, if you will. Basically, the Eagles' stats are first-half stats. Jalen Hurts, he had 0 yards in the second half. Didn't have a completion in the second half. A.J. Brown, those are all first-half numbers. 5 receptions, 68 yards. In a half, those look fantastic. But you got to play 60 minutes to win a Super Bowl. They know that. And they haven't done that. They're incomplete. And I think it's almost a feather in their cap that they have not played complete football. And yet, in a really deep NFC, they can still be the two seed. So I'm so confused by handicapping this football team of what am I seeing. Conversely, for the Bills. So did it really matter for them? I think they kind of knew they were going to run down the Patriots after what the Patriots did, 42-10 over the Jets yesterday. And yeah, you still want to win and you still want to feel good going to the postseason. And I mentioned off the top of the show, they missed an extra point when they scored the first touchdown late in the fourth quarter to make it 13-6. When they scored the second touchdown, and you saw it the whole time, Sean McDermott was saying, we're going for two before they even scored the touchdown. So you knew exactly what they're going to do. Josh Allen missed a wide open receiver. The player's there. That Joe Brady called, and they just missed it. Here's McDermott after the game on that decision to not play for overtime.
Want to be aggressive, going for the win. You know, we feel like, you know, only a certain amount of time left at that point, and felt like we had a great call, great opportunity to go win it, and I'm going to be aggressive, so I'm not going to sit back.
Did having the kick blocked earlier impact your decision making?
Potentially. It wasn't everything, but you know, I trust Josh Allen with the ball in his hands, and I'd do it over again.
I get it. I totally understand that. I do wonder if this was a playoff game, or dare I say a Super Bowl, would you have made the same decision? Because you're completely shutting out that Eagle offense. Like, to me, at that point, if it is about where we are in that game, Jensen, they're clearly outplaying Philadelphia in every phase at that point. Wouldn't you then decide to kick the extra point, go to overtime? It doesn't matter who wins the toss. Because if I get the ball, they're not stopping us. We've gone down two straight drives and scored, and their offense can do nothing against our defense.
Revisionist history here. Okay, again, so the conditions were what they were, and they were not good. The missed extra point is a good thing to bring up in that moment of, okay, anticipating we get down here, do we already have it predicated on we know what we're doing? Other caveat here, and Tony Romo talked a lot about things earlier in the last couple of weeks, looking at Josh Allen not being right with his feet. Yep. And that's something to track here moving forward. It's going to play heavily, I think, into this week 18. Dave, when you think about it, the Bills are going to go on the road, period. It's a matter of, you know, do you have Josh Allen come in, take the first snap, continue that consecutive start streak, and then be done with it? You potentially are going on the road, ironically, to Foxborough. If Houston and the Chargers win, they both hold the tiebreakers over Buffalo and New England. You know, essentially, if they win, then they're either the one seed or the two seed. But if they are the two, they're going to get the Bills. If the Bills just decide, let's rest everyone, let's get healthy, because we know our path is as close to 100% as we can get everyone to try and get to the Super Bowl.
And that, to me, is the bigger point. And that's why I agreed with McDermott going for two. Is because they didn't want to play more football. They didn't want Josh Allen taking any more shots. Now, he can't say that at the podium. I understand that. But that's really what that was about to me. And I'll tell you this, though. I do think if it was different, if it was a playoff game, I don't think that's what he would have done. So I know he says, you know, I'd do it again and all those things. If the circumstances were the same and you felt like you didn't want to play anymore, I get that, then go for the win right then and there. But if he's healthy, you're the better team at that point. You kick the extra point. You play more football because you got the better team that's playing better at that juncture. You mentioned the Patriots, 42-10, all over the Jets yesterday. Everybody says wrapping up a division title is hard. It wasn't for them yesterday in conjunction with that Bills loss. Drake May, still the second betting choice here to win MVP. He was lights out. Boy, to me, at the other side, Aaron Glenn, what's going on there with the Jets? Maybe some one-and-done coaches in the NFL. Not advocating for that, but we've seen it before. We might see a couple that we'll get to here a little bit later on as the week goes. When we come back, much more football to break down. And Cleveland, did they really target Denzel Ward? Was that the game plan? We'll discuss next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Monday morning. Start off the new year as a better with a VSiN Pro subscription. This is the final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. Sign up now. You're going to get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79, including daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, covering everything from the college football playoffs, can't wait for Wednesday, and the NFL playoffs, to March Madness and a tradition unlike any other, the Masters. Plus, you're going to receive our college football playoff betting guide, complete with expert picks. Steve Mackinnon's got his power ratings, CFP and bowl best bets, and previews for every single bowl game. So start the new year off with an edge. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. I was drinking out of my Masters coffee mug this weekend, Jensen. And you said you've got, what, about 60 mile an hour per winds going right now in Cleveland? Is that right?
Yeah, we for people that didn't see what's happened in the Sierra Nevadas earlier, I know our boys out in Vegas probably could see it from the weather map. They had, what, upwards of 12 to 15 feet. Let me say it again, 12 to 15 feet of snow a handful of days ago. So that is all kind of coming our way here. And so overnight, we started to get gusts upwards of 55, 60 miles an hour. It's been, I can tell you this, in my office where I'm at home, and I have my noise-canceling ear monitors in, I can still hear the wind. That's how loud and how much it's howling outside. That's how much it was howling at Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers down at First Energy Stadium or Huntington Bank Stadium there yesterday in Cleveland as well.
Well, I was going to say, I was when I was drinking my coffee, looking at my Master's Cup, and it's in the 60s all weekend, and I didn't get out there at the golf range at all because it was too windy. And all I kept thinking about was, you think this would have stopped the guys at Augusta? No, it stopped me, though, just that wind. But I didn't have 60-mile-an-hour winds to deal with. Let's get to it here with the Browns with that 13-6 win over the Steelers. The last four plays, it did feel like they said, all right, we're going to go best on best, and their best is going to be Denzel Ward, and our best isn't playing. That's DK Metcalf because he was suspended, and you could really see the impact, I thought, of that suspension, certainly late in this game. So, Jensen, let's hear from Denzel. And I'm sure he was a little bit tongue-in-cheek with this if the game plan was to go right at a former top five pick.
Like I said, I'm always just prepared and ready for moments like that. But, yeah, I just try to make it hard on teams every time they decide to look at the scouting report and see who they're going to attack and make it hard on them when they come my way. And like I said, I don't know whose bright idea it was to try me for the game for three plays in a row, but we was able to come through and get the win.
I will say this, all the years covering football that I did in D.C. for almost two decades, the only player I recall with sunglasses on in the locker room that I talked to, ironically, was Deion Sanders when he played the 1 year in D.C. That was a Deion thing. And the other thing I noted, and I don't know if this is a rub off on Shador, I did notice when I was listening to some of the game yesterday, they don't call him Sanders. Every other quarterback, right? You go by the last name. You go by Brady back to pass. It's Manning back to Shador. So maybe it's rubbing off. I don't know. What do you make of the swag and the comments there of like, hey, I don't know if that's game plan, but I'm ready if they want to come my way.
Yeah, it was not sunny here in Northeast Ohio, so not sure if that sun found its way into the Browns locker room there. Let's be fair, Denzel Ward has been burned plenty of times this season, so a little arrogant of him to just say, oh, three times, and let's be fair, the replay, Denzel, you got away with pass interference. That game should have gone a little bit differently, except the referees just were able to swallow those whistles. Here's the problem. The Steelers in themselves let this kind of a team hang around. And so was the game won and lost on the last play? In theory, yes. But overall, it's been a house of horrors for the Steelers. This used to be a book it win in the era of Big Ben. The Steelers would just come in and trounce the Browns here in Cleveland. Steelers now winless in their past five games, playing teams that are at least eight or more games below 500. That has tied the longest such streak in NFL history, I mean, all the way back through the pandemic year. And they haven't won in Cleveland since 2021. It is remarkable, the change. And the social media directors were out in force yesterday as well. The Ravens, of course, with keen eyes on the result of that game yesterday. How about them giving a little perfect timing shout out with one of their players having the Shador wrist to raise towards the sky? And Browns saying to the old Browns, hey, don't think we did this for you. That was hysterical to see that. So great in our day and age of social media.
I loved it. I thought this was great back and forth. And, you know, Ravens trying to give them a little bit of love. But boy, if you know this and you know this in your area, if there's one fan base that does not care for the other, I don't know if the Steelers are more hated. I think the Ravens are more hated. So I think the Browns immediately coming back on the clapback. We did not do this for you. We'll still never forget what Art Modell did so many decades ago to give you a franchise in Baltimore. So no love lost there between the Ravens and the Browns. But it is ironic that all of a sudden it's the Browns that have given life to the Ravens. And now it is that winner take all. And that's going to be next Sunday night. We'll get to that game here as we start to break this down in earnest today and as the week goes. The Ravens are alive, 41-24 winners over Green Bay on Saturday night, and Malik Willis did get the start for the Packers, something you and I talked about. Like, we thought, why would Jordan Love play in this game with a concussion protocol? They ruled him out when we got off the air on Friday, so we were not surprised by that. I was surprised how well Huntley played. Now, look, Derrick Henry, that's the story with the four touchdowns and the 216 and the 36 carries. But if you look at the way Huntley managed the offense, 16 to 20, everything's dink and dunk, just 107 yards, and he rushed for 60 with his own legs. Now, we'll find out about Lamar. You would think Lamar would be back. But Jensen, there feels to, like there's, I don't want to say it's a rift, because I know that John Harbaugh would say, Dave, that's not true, there's no rift. But something does feel a little bit askew there as to whether or not his availability. Could they go in with Huntley and Derrick Henry and use that formula again and go to Pittsburgh and roll with that?
Yeah, not reinventing the wheel here, Dave, but when you have Derrick Henry, this is what we asked for just a couple of weeks ago on Sunday Night Football when he was still absolutely steamrolling the New England Patriots, and you're up double digits there with 12:50 left in the fourth quarter. I got to say, most continuity and really the most synergy we've seen from a Baltimore Ravens offense maybe in the second half of the season, and that's even with the win streak that it took before Lamar gets knocked out with the injury. I tell you what, I'm feeling confident if I'm John Harbaugh, because you mentioned the rushing component of Huntley. That has been the MO of this offense, even with the healthy Lamar Jackson. You had to respect the escapability and the rushability, and that in turn opens up all those opportunities for Derrick Henry again. So I'm fascinated to see what the Pittsburgh game plan is, because if I'm Baltimore, give it to the king until the king is stopped.
All I'll say, and I don't have a ticket in pocket yet, 3.5 on the ROAD for the Ravens feels heavy to me. I'd be looking at that Steelers side right now, plus 3.5. We'll get to those. Those are just early glances here, and that total sitting at 40.5. Jaguars did come back and get the win, depending on the number. Boy, that's a bad beat if you had the Colts yesterday. 4.5, 5.5, 6.5 at the beginning of the week. Those came down. It ends 6 here. Rivers with a late pick. If you heard Philip afterward, it was very emotional. He would do it all over again coming back. He said the only thing he changes is the wins, because they were in all these games and they couldn't get any of these wins. So their postseason hopes have been dashed. The Jaguars, though, good win. I mean, you went on the road, divisional opponent this late in the year. I know it wasn't their cleanest game, and yet, Jensen, they're still alive for a one seed.
It is crazy, right? Liam Cohen is going to get a lot of votes for Coach of the Year. It is a compelling case overall, and considering that Ben Johnson and the Bears were just a play away from beating the Niners on the road and staying alive, respectively, for a one seed, it's crazy to see where it's going to go, and also considering what Mike Vrabel and Sean Payton have done as well. Okay, here's the rub here. When you're looking at Jacksonville, the worst they can do is the 3 seed, and I think they're okay with that. They now present a host of challenges. We were on them probably a month and a half ago, and we started telling people, you better buy stock. Well, the Colts gave them everything they could handle and then some, but just imagine if this team finds their way to a buy. Dave, this is a future price. If you haven't gotten in yet, you better get in now, because this is a team to be reckoned with.
Now, again, they have to beat the Titans. You would think they would be able to handle business there. Titans playing better football right now, but that would wrap up the division and potentially, depending on what Denver does, a one seed. Denver, by the way, has to play the Chargers. That was the rough one for us over the weekend, 20-16. The Texans get the win there. Dicker, the kicker, misses a chippy field goal and an extra point, and they lose by 4, Jensen.
Oh, it's just awful. In one of those games, too, that if you're the Chargers now with that loss, you know you're going on the road as a wild card team. Do you rest Justin Herbert and company? You got to have everybody healthy, and they still incredibly live to come out as a wild card team.
Odds makers believe they're going to do just that. 7.5-point dogs against Denver, who still needs the game potentially to get that one seed in the AFC. More of those twists and turns, and also what's going on down there in Tampa. We'll discuss next right here. Beeson by the Books.
You're tuned in to Beeson by the Books right here on Beeson.
continue the Sin by the Books on this Monday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. Going to have Marty Herney join us in the next hour. Can't wait to get our GM's thoughts on what he's seen so far through 17 weeks of the NFL season. Can't believe it. One more game to go tonight. Atlanta, home dogs here against the Rams. Talk more about that game later on in the program with Ovi Mahaley. Of course, played fullback for the Ravens, and the Falcons covers them these days. Jensen, I did want to ask about the Dolphins and the Buccaneers. Buccaneers, just this losing skid. They've lost 8 of 9. It's rather amazing to see what's happened to this football team. I felt like a genius on this program when I gave out when the Dolphins were a 2-win team. Hey, let's play the over. Look at the schedule, 6.5. It's very doable. They haven't quit on Mike McDaniel. And I got to 6, and I was like, I got 4 games to go to get 1 win. This thing is in the books. And then it wasn't. 2 straight losses, and I'm like, how are they going to beat the Bucs? They're not going to beat the Patriots. They beat the Bucs yesterday. So we cashed those tickets. By the way, preseason total, if you had those in the Dolphins, you got 1 more to get, and they might be able to get it with the Patriots now. We'll find out how much they're going to play their guys for a potential 1 seed. But the other side of this equation is the Buccaneers. Jensen, that's why we like the Dolphins. Didn't want to lay the points anymore with Baker Mayfield and company. It's the 2 picks. It's the fumble lost. It's the 3 turnovers. You don't want to put it all at the feet of Baker Mayfield, but he's the guy that'll say, look at me first. Can we even back the Bucs next week at home against Carolina in what could be a winner-take-all for the division matchup?
I mentioned it. 8 consecutive losses against the number entering yesterday make it now 9 in a row. And, I mean, where does the bottom fall out if they haven't hit rock bottom yet? I mean, the Dolphins, again, credit where it's due. Mike McDaniel, we've said in previous weeks, he has gotten this team to play extremely hard through the finish line. And I think Trent Green illustrated it perfectly. Was listening a little bit to he and Kevin Harlan of the Raiders and the Giants broadcast. You know, Trent Green was saying it, and we've said it on this show for multiple weeks. Guys are putting stuff on film because these are active auditions, whether it be for your organization to stay or for other organizations to acquire you. And I'll be honest, I think Quinn Ewers knows he don't have a lot of opportunities, and this might be it. So why leave anything to chance? Let's go out and try and end a season potentially for a team that had everything to play for, at least through the first half of the season, and still will, ironically, on the first game of the week there on Saturday afternoon. So to answer your question roundaboutly, if this game were in Carolina, no, I could not back Baker and the boys. There's something about being in front of the pirate ship that could ultimately get them across the finish line. It could look ugly all the way up until this point. And Dave, you made a point 2 weeks ago. God help the NFC if they find their way in, because they're going to feel like they're on borrowed time. They're going to feel like everyone is, oh, well, hey, you know, don't worry about them. They're not doing anything. And that's the most dangerous team to play. So I think they got to get there first. Fortunately, they get it at home. But man, oh, man, it has looked decrepit and then some here for the last half of the season.
4 straight losses, 8 of 10, and 7 of 8 is what this team has lost. And yet, if the Falcons lose to the Rams tonight, they will have 1 game to be NFC South champions again, which is all that Todd Bowles and Baker Mayfield have known so far together as a pairing there. Again, the Falcons, they're going to be Rams fans tonight, if you can believe this, for the Buccaneers. They need the Rams to beat the Falcons. And if that happens as 7.5-point favorites, then that game will be straight up Panthers, Bucks. One team gets in, the other goes home. Speaking of the Panthers, they lost 27-10. They could have wrapped up the division yesterday. It was 3-3 at halftime with Seattle. And then a couple turnovers in a row for Carolina, and Seattle turned those into quick scores, and that defense did the rest. 27-10 is the final there. Not overly impressive, but I'll tell you this. Mike McDonald, this team does not. They are the new Bill Belichick, no days off. East Coast, West Coast, time zone, doesn't matter. On the road, they just figure out ways to get it done. Not always impressive. Sam had a couple turnovers there. You go, boy, you don't want to see those in the second season. But they now are on the precipice of the 1 seed, and Carolina now knows that more than likely they're going to have to beat the Buccaneers to get in.
Welcome back, my old friend, to a final game of regular season with so much on the line. Here we go. Back-to-back years, Sam Darnold playing for a 1 seed. And if he doesn't win it, then Seattle's got to go on the road. However, much different feel though for this Seattle team than perhaps the Minnesota team that he had last year. I think what is really incredible though is, you know, Seattle at times and even scheduling spots, right? This late in the year, NFC West team or AFC West team having to come all the way east for an early body clock kickoff took them a little bit to get going. But they got going. They locked it down in the second half.
I'm a little surprised by this. You know who I'm rooting for. I've got a lot of tickets still on Seattle win the division. I'm surprised the Niners are only a point and a half favorite in this one. A little bit surprised. As a matter of fact, right now when I look at it, Jensen, that's plus money on the Niners side to cover the point and a half. Oh. You have to lay it. If you're taking the point and a half with Seattle, minus an hour 22. Those numbers are a little bit askew to me today. Look, rooting for Seattle, but rooting and betting are two different things completely. So I feel like if you like the Niners, that's a pretty good price point as you wake up on a Monday morning. By the way, check out our friends at the Sharp Place. Speaking of numbers, they're always going to have the best of the number available for you. They have unmatched transparency, records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, alerts directly from the pros. This is not a startup, people. They've been around the block here since 2011. They got receipts and they are transparent. So check out our friends at sharpplays.com. Let's get back a little bit to what happened in the desert yesterday. And I know you're going to go, well, who cares about the Giants beating the tar out of the Raiders? Everybody does that, 34-10. I mentioned maybe some one-and-done coaches. And again, I have nothing but respect for Pete Carroll. I love Pete Carroll. I hope he could turn this thing around. And it does not look good here. And also talking about Aaron Glenn in New York with the Jets, I wonder if these guys have shown anything to management to say, yeah, I deserve to come back for year two. It got ugly yesterday again. And I know that we saw that earlier in the week, you know, Brock Bowers went to IR. They moved some guys here. I don't know that they were necessarily trying to lose the game actively. But when you tell Max Crosby to go home, he didn't want to go home. And they did that earlier in the week, too, if you remember that story. They look like a team that was kind of in the tank for the one seed. And they've got it now. The Raiders have wrapped up the number one pick in the April draft. And the Giants could have done the same had they tanked. And Jensen, they didn't. They went out there and put a number up 34-10 here. What's the takeaway from that game yesterday?
Well, I mean, this is, again, where you put stuff on tape. And ironically, Trent Green calling this game said it as much. And there's Giants players that don't know who their next head coach is going to be, let alone if they'll be part of that organization. You look at where Jackson Dart is. Had it been good up to that point? No, it hadn't. But, hey, you can leave a pretty solid, you know, feeling in the eyes of Joe Shane and that leadership, John Mara. You think at worst, they're probably that number two pick, if not a number three pick. It would feel like the Raiders are destined to take Fernando Mendoza, number one overall. If indeed it is the two for the Giants, boy, they have a decision to make. Is it Arvell Reese, the great linebacker from The Ohio State? Do you trade out of it because you feel that Jackson Dart is your guy? You know, there's a lot of different ways to pivot. Now, all options need to be on the table, but here we go. And then conversely, on the Raiders side, you know, I know that Pete Carroll has respect from ownership there. Boy, it's going to be fascinating to see really what's going to happen, not only in this offseason, but their ideas moving forward before we get to April for that NFL draft.
Guilty as charged. I watched a lot of the Saints and Titans game yesterday. It was a millions play for us. We really liked the Titans. I thought we're not only going to get home, they're going to win the game outright, and then they fall behind by one late. And you go, well, it's still good. We're going to cover the number. No, another late touchdown. And the Saints go on to get the win. They've won four in a row. This is a six-win football team all of a sudden here in New Orleans. And Tyler Shuck, we gave it out on the program. Hey, if you like these markets, I don't bet into these markets, but we still give out the advice. 250-1, not that long ago. Now, he's the second betting choice and nipping on the heels, getting close to even money here. Big day for Tyler Shuck, 333. The job Kellen Moore's done with this team, and I think the job Mike McCoy's done with the Titans. They look like a real football team all of a sudden, Jensen. I know these are two doormats. They look like right now you have some positive upswings at the end of the year.
Yeah, right now, if the draft happened today, Titans would pick fourth overall and are at least projected to take Reuben Bain Jr., the edge rusher from the Miami Hurricanes. Again, you want closing stanzas to look very much like what the Titans are doing with a rookie quarterback with a lot of young skill position guys. I think that is encouraging. Big reason why we like the Titans this week in our millions leans. Heck, you don't turn the ball over, you got a chance to win that thing outright.
All right, our Hefe, Steve Cohen, saying that Jay Glazer says that Aaron Glenn will be back in New York with the Jets next year. So, again, maybe they've seen enough to keep him for another year, but that's what it looks like today. Of course, Black Friday will be this time next week when a lot of coaches will be showing the door. Let's get back, take a look. We're going to catch up with our GM, Marty Herney, next right here on VSiN by the Books.